Blog Talk Radio.
Israelites, with your host, the seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah. Live Yahweh's radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Special edition called Thursday Evening. I be your host for the special edition called Thursday Evening. By name, your seer, Israel of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, the Deep Dark Sands of the Bible. And, a lot of reviews, no doubt about it. So we're going to do, we're going to bring our elder in, and the elder will tell y'all about the broadcast on it. And we see Brother GL was saying, listen, now you know I'm only here to hear what the elder got to say. So I'm going to sit here and drag my herbal tea and wait on the elder to get through talking, Mr. Tills, then I'm going to find something else to do. All right there, Brother GL was. All right, so we're going to bring our elder in, and he'll definitely tell you who bring this broadcast and all the good stuff about the broadcast, and you have a nice seat to you to the elder get through doing what he got to do, no doubt about it, in Yahweh. All right, Elder Mr. Tills, Yahweh bid you see you right here.
And Yahweh bless you, sweet Israel, to see you, well. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Elder Stillwell. Well, Brother G. Edwards said, well, he's all ears to hear what you got to say. And so what we're going to do, we're going to turn it over to you. And whatever you got to say to the national audience and Brother G. Edwards, take your time, man. You're on the clock there. Elder Stillwell, then spread your books out a little bit because you are definitely be needed for tape number 8. You're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And I always say, it's a pleasure to be among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And we try to give them that, what they need. And that's a good thing. Even Brother G. Edwards, we try to give him what he needs too. But he had to stay in that book and he had to take notes. Just like we suggest that most people do when they're learning the word of Yahweh. It tells us that by doing this in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. 10 says, "For Yahweh is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." So we try to keep that point. And we also try to emphasize what it says about a teacher or a counselor and even comparing students. In the book of Sirach, chapter 6, looking at verses 6 and 35 to 37. Let's see what that says. Verse 6 says, "Be at peace with many, but nevertheless have one counselor over a thousand." Also, when we look at 35 to 37, it says, 35, "Be willing to hear every Yahweh discord, net like the parables of understanding escape thee." 36, "And if thou seest a man of understanding, get betime unto him, and let thy foot wear the steps of his doors." 37, "Let thy mind be upon the ordinance of the Yahweh, and meditate continually in his commandments or Torah instructions, and he shall establish thine heart of mind, and give thee wisdom at thy own desire." We try to stick with what says with the Bible, and like I said, we bring that word exactly as it's written. Because we all know there's a history of the world past, and also of the world present. But our history starts from our birth to our death. But those who fail to learn history are soon to repeat it. But those who fail to learn it correctly, notice I use that word correctly, they are simply doomed in this world and the world to come. You need this education of the Bible, and you need it in your daily life. We talk about different things. We even mentioned the word Yada. We broke that down, what it means. Even bringing you who Judah was. That's right, explaining who Judah was. Now, that's a good thing to be able to learn stuff like that. But the way we bring it to you, you have to know, it might not be like that Esau man standing down there holding the class, because it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "Though I may be rude in speech, but not in knowledge, will be thoroughly made manifest among you in all things." So if you listen, you will understand that we do know what we're talking about because we stay in the book. And the book is the way to go. Because you have many people trying to pull you away from the book into their own understanding. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, Christianity, and loud bumps of gums for righteous learning. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's word, which we've even been questioning about that. How can you guys on Yahweh's ministry get this much out of this one book? Well, if you listen, it comes from connecting the books. Your health, foods that you should eat, keeping the Sabbath days, and much more. And we do all this because you have not. This is information that you came to seek and have to look no further now. You found it in the voices of the True Israelites, tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And having no class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. Now, the top part of Sabbath is Friday. We have a class that starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search engine, enter tribeyadda.com. And after you click enter, just under that big lion, you will see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But again, after clicking this, you again see the choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us in that book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 cents give unto the Yahuwah, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, alive. Also for building a school, which is very well needed with the misunderstanding that's out there today. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check our calendar. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to all of us throughout the year. We even have a live program. This is a feature that's available by entering three words, Yahuwah Radio Live, on the search line. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahda, and click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyahda@gmail.com. The other is yahdaisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This will be our international number. This is where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 600 camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But now in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. You will only hear a discouraging dial tone. Also, by calling this same number, you can order what our members know of the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, he's pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos that most of us have seen, and even now, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579, and if your question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. As a reminder, you will only hear a discouraging dial tone. Remember, we are the blessed peacemakers, as the Bible says, the children of Yahuwah. You can find that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. The blessed peacemakers. Now, for those of you who have maybe missed the beginning of our program, you can catch the entire show after 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. And to do this, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And when you click enter, once again, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah, and choose a program that you were late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. One note we'd like to mention. During our normal BroadTalk broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting our program on CalTalk, being listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites once again. And you'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer this one of the topics we discussed during our program will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel riding as shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find if broadcast ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. But remember, when we are given scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly. And remembering we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. And so we can start just that. We will pass our program back over to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, Daniel. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Give you a little chance to spread your books out a little bit on the special edition called Thursday evening. And we're just speaking with what we can get in and on whatever topic he gives us. So just spread the books out a little bit. We don't see who else is going to be on stage for a nice episode right now. Right now, we'll be on stage. We'll be. Oh, Mother E. Mother E said, you don't see a... You know, I look forward to hollering that microphone. You know, I know one thing. I got to lead by example and do my part. No doubt about it. One of the most out of care one, Mother E. All right. Mother E, Travel Yacht Dot Jewish. Y'all probably get that thing right.
Yahuwah bless you. This is Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. There, Mother E. Way, hey. Spirit sound right, so I gonna do the best you can, no doubt about it. You know, a lot of information have to be dealt with, so somebody gotta do it. And I'm fully persuaded that this ministry have been chosen to bring out the dark, deep sands of the Bible. Bring out stuff that people have ignored and need to kind of hear it and start analyzing a few things, because it's time now. The timeline is now. All right, there, Mother. You know, Mother Z is sitting at her desk now saying, see, you know, I got to hear something first. I don't have a problem giving my commentary on anything, but I got to hear something first. So we're going to leave it just like that. We'll bring Mother Z in a little bit later, and we'll let her give her commentary on whatever she done heard or what Almighty done put on her, too. But right now, hey, yo, Mr. Till, take a little look at Luke. Chapter 12, verse 2. Let's see if we get something going on there, Elder. Let's try to get something going on in Luke chapter 12, verse 12. What did it say there, Elder?
In the book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12, it says, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right. In that very same hour, Elder, the righteous spirit will teach you. And that's the game changer. But we're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, the deep, dark sands of the Bible. Seeing some deep, dark sands in this Bible. And matter of fact, Mother E, these deep, dark sands is real, and we'll take a look at some of these deep, dark sands. Hey, Mother E, I want to hear something about a deep, dark sand. In a book called Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. I'm looking to see where we're going on a deep, dark sand. Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Come on. Let's see what that says, Mother.
In the book of Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Okay. Let me get that. Book of Daniel, chapter 12. Look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, verse 7. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a four beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and great pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Verse 8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another new horn, before whom there was 3 of the first horn plucked up by the root. And behold, in his horn was eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things.
And his mouth was speaking great things. He said, and his mouth was speaking great things.
Right.
There, Marvel. And let's go to the 8th chapter and give another little shot at this. And Elder, have me 17th chapter, verse number 8 of Revelation. Had that waiting on me, Elder, with gifts. 17th chapter, verse 8. Now, Marvel, he says his mouth was speaking great things. His mouth was speaking great things. And the 8th chapter, can you pick it up around about verse number? Pick it up around about verse number 23. Yeah, we're going to Daniel chapter 8 and pick it up verse number 23. Let's read a little bit. Now, this mouth was speaking great things, but let's find out a little bit more about this mouth that's speaking great things. Daniel chapter 8, pick up verse 23. Let's read a little bit. Come on.
The book of Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, the king of spirits countenance and understanding doth sentence shall stand up. Verse 24. And
go ahead. 24.
And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderful, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the Holy One, the righteous one, the righteous people. Verse 25. And though he is polisher also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his hand. But he shall destroy men. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without pain.
Good, good, mother, right there. Good, excellent, right there. I'll read verse 24 again, mother. Can you read verse 24 one more time?
Okay. Daniel chapter 8, verse 24. And his power shall be magnified, and his power shall be mangled, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderful, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and his holy righteous people.
Now, so he's saying, so what you read, mother, his power, it would not, his power shall be mighty. That's great. But his power is not of his own doing. If somebody else will be working with him. That's what we read.
Right.
So his power gonna be, and he's gonna practice, and he's gonna take a whole lot of business. That's what we're reading so far. And he gonna understand dark sentences.
Mm-hmm.
And dark sentences is the Almighty. So he gonna understand the words, but he gonna apply it opposite of what the Bible is saying. Because okay. The power will be from somebody else. Somebody else will give him this power. Okay, good. We'll leave that just like that for right now. We'll swing up to our elder, Mr. Tilson. And let's see if we get some end-time prophecy on this understanding of the elder. In the 17th chapter, can you have to see out in verse number 11? Because now we found out it will be somebody that will have a lot of power. But this power will be not of his own doing. His power will... Wait a minute, hold that point, Elder. Hey, Mother E, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. It's a yeah, see, that sounds pretty good, but you own something serious, so you might well pay attention, because I'm going to try to get a message out on the special edition called Thursday Evening, tape number 8. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6 there, Mother,
mm-hmm.
He says power will have great power, but somebody's going to give him that power. Let's see if he took what he says in Ephesians 6, verse 10 down to verse 12. Ephesians 6, 10, 11, and 12. What that
okay.
Say there, Mother E? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, 11, and 12. What that say?
Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Yahweh and in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of Yahweh that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against spiritual weakness and high places.
Mm-hmm. So read verse 11 again.
Verse 11. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of Yahweh that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Oh, so you got to put on the whole armor of the Almighty for you be able to stand on the wiles of the devil. That's what he said. Hold that point, Elder. Just put a marker right there, Elder, in that 17th chapter, verse 11. Just put a marker there. We come back there in a minute. But I got to get a little more information on this right here, Elder. So, you know, we got to find out what kind of tools do Satan work with. They said, now, beware of Satan, because he works power. We're going to Luke. I want to run to the book of Luke there, Elder, Mr. Tibbs. We're going to Luke chapter 4. I want to see how do Satan operates that we can read. By going to Luke chapter 4, Elder, it'll tell us something 5 through 7. What do it tell us that we can read in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 down to verse 7? Help me out there, Elder. You on the clock. Come on.
In the book of Luke chapter 4, reading verses 5 to verse number 7. Verse 5 says, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, and showed unto him all the kingdom of the world in a moment of time. 6. And the devil said unto him, All this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whosoever I will give it. 7. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be mine, thine."
He said, now to get this power, you have to worship me. That's what he just said. He said, now the devil saying, listen, now if your goal is to have worldly power, Satan says, I can't fulfill your means. He said, but my offer is to you is to worship me. That's what he just said. Now, if you worship me, he said, it is mine to give. That's what he said. So he said, he received his power from the mighty one to be able to, whoever I am convinced to not follow him and follow Satan, he said, I have this power to do so. So he's going to entice you with whatever you love the most. That's where he's going to entice you at. So whatever you love the most, you might love your kids more than you love the mighty one. That's where he's going to entice you at. Whatever you love the most, that's what Satan's going to work, with you on. Keep that in your mind. So now let's go to the 17th chapter, verse number. Let's pick up verse 8 now. To 10, make it 8. Now take that marker you got there, Elder, and swing down to the 17th chapter, pick it verse 8. Let's read a little bit and see exactly what the outcome of all this. See, here's the point. We able to go in this book and show you can let the temptation grab you, but we can show you what's going to happen in the same Bible when it's all said and done. 17 verse 8, let's read a little bit there. Come on, El. A Revelation.
Book of Revelation, 17th chapter, reading verse number 8. 8 says, "The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they will that dwell on the earth shall wonder. Those names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is."
Yeah, I want you to keep on reading down and stay on that. But let me pause with it. So, but hold on, Al, let me get in there. Since you paused, it must have been a reason for you to pause. So he said the beast was and it is. Now, read that verse again. What about that beast was again? They gave 3 shots on that beast. What about that beast again? The beast was. And what else again? Read that verse again, Elder.
Okay. I'll read it again. "The beast thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is."
Oh, so this beast was too. It was in power. It went out of power, and now it's back in power. There you go right there. It was in power. Then he had a a loan breach that he was not in power, but he remained to come back in power in the late 1400s, around about 1492. They arose back in power, and from 1492 to the present, the beast is in power. But the beast lost his power in 193 A.D. up to the 1400s when Cetrus of Siberia, big general, came and conquered and took over Septimus Severus. So when you look up the history, he interrupts the beast's power by taking over what they call the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages only means when dark peoples was running a people that was of pale skin. Up to 1492, Isabella and Pharaoh knocked off the wicked Judah in 1492 up to this day, because when Judah went and got into Islam, it was just a matter of time before Judah was taken down, because that wasn't the way to go. And plus, Judah had no business in the northern world, because that was the land of Shem, land of Japhetic peoples anyway. So, and it's that same thing going on today. You cannot go into nobody else's land and then put up real estate in there, because it's, he says that's not going to cut it. All right, so that's the case. And WCC said, well, here, is there any verse that can bag that up? You can't go into another person's land? Oh, yes, it is, WCC. Hey, well, let's see if we read a couple of verses that you can't do that. Go into nobody else's land out of the Bible. That's not the rules and regulations by going into somebody else's land. Let's see, can we read a couple of verses on that, Elder, for the WCC, 500 million members. They won't know, can they read a verse on that? And I guess we can accommodate them on a verse that you not supposed to do that. You know, I'm over in the book of Exodus, although I'm struggling. In the 21st chapter of Exodus, let's see what it says, that just get halfway warmed up in 21:16, Elder. What it says in Exodus 21:16, what that say?
In the book of Exodus, chapter 21, looking at verse 16. 16 says, and he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death.
He said, he that stealeth a man. So now, if you part of a group, if you part of a group and you steal a people, stealing, you know, taking a people from where their land is at, then you take them to another land. And he said, now if these people be found in your hand, you know, what he say he gonna do again? If you steal a man there, elder, and the people be found in whoever hand, you're like, for example, somebody say you something, sell your neighbor's product to you, and you don't know it's your neighbor's product, you just bought it. Then if you catch the person, he said, what you sold it to? I sold it to the guy next door to it. So now, all a according to the rules and regulations of their laws, you, if they found that property, his property on your property, you have to counsel for it. So Yahweh is telling Moses, tell the children of Israel, don't get off in that, because if you steal a man or a nation, and the nation be found in your hand, he said, I'm going to kill you. So keep that in your mind, what he said. So read it one more time, Elder. Read it one more time, Elder, again. Read that again. Come on.
Okay. In Exodus 21, verse number 16 says, and he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death.
Okay. So if you got history stealing property that don't belong to you, and they find that property, you know, like I know back in the day, they being high on stealing bicycles. They go and steal a bicycle and ride around and sell to you. But so after you get caught with that bicycle yourself, you in just as much trouble as the one that provided. Go to Leviticus 25. Wait a minute. But I'm struggling here. I'm struggling right now trying to get a point out the way. And I'm struggling right now. But what we're saying now, if you is part of a group and you remove, let's go to Proverbs for that. Let's go on to Proverbs there. You know? We go in the book of Proverbs. I just want to see what did the wisest man in the world say behind that. In the book of Proverbs, Dale. So that's why you got to watch everything from the pages of the book. So in the book of Proverbs, it says in 22:28, it says what? This is what he says in Proverbs 22:28. What it says?
In the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, looking at verse number 28 says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set.
It says, remove not the ancient landmark that your father has set. All right. That's real nice, Dale. So don't do it. Don't remove whatever your fathers have once set. See, your offspring will be always in the mind to point back where they came from. But if you remove that ancient mark, they can never find their way. And he tell you what not to do. You don't want all this power. He said, don't move the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. Now, I know we gonna go to Revelation 17, but I ain't going there right now, because he said, no, dear. Hold that verse up for a minute. Hold that verse, because you own something, because there's a message. See, it's not how much money you get, how much money you make in this world. Remember, the body is going to stand on your do's and don'ts. So you can gain the whole world, and you can lose your soul. So he says what not to do. Now I need Moses had one more shot at that, Elder. In the 19th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 14. Now he's going to make it a little bit more plain. But one thing about it, the Almighty, he tried to make it as plain as possible with more than one witnesses. We're going to the 19th chapter of Deuteronomy, so we'll look at verse number 8. And 14. 8 and 14. That's what we're going to look at. 8 and 14. Deuteronomy 19, verse 8 and 14. Elder, Mr. Tibbs, come on.
In the book of Deuteronomy, looking at chapter 19, reading verses 8 and verse number 14. Verse 8 says, "And if the Yahweh, the Yahweh, enlarge thy coast, as he has sworn unto my fathers, and give it thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers." 14.
Thy father. Yeah. So Moses is telling the children of Israel. Now the Almighty had made some promise. He said, if Yahweh, thy Yahweh, enlarge thy coast, if he make you, he enlarge you up real good, as he has swore unto your father, thy father, and give thee, you, all the land which he promised to give unto thy father. So now he tells you something. Now, Yahweh makes promise with the people. He promised them a land. And he said, now, if anybody move them off this land, they don't answer to me sooner or later. Now, let's read verse number 14. Let's say verse 14.
14 says, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they are of old time, have not set in thine inheritance, which thou had inherited in the land that the Yahweh given thee to promise it."
Okay. Now that's what you said. He said, now, don't do it. He said, now, don't do it. Now, we're going to fast forward all the way up and see what's the outcome. Now, what we are laying now, he's telling you to pass on to your loved ones. Don't sit up root, and don't be involved with anything that where you're going to take a man from his inheritance, from his land. He said, don't do it. I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. Tell him that, Moses. So anytime you got a big piece of change or you build your military up real big, understand, do not let leadership have you in a position that the Bible don't support. Because if he don't get you now, he'll get you later. Mm-hmm. So he tell you not to do it. Now we go into Revelation and get the prophecy of that and see. Remember, John wrote the prophecy from the Almighty in 1:17 through 19 and 4:1. He told John to write the hereafter. So what John get ready to tell you about is the hereafter. Let's see what he said in the 13th chapter of Elder, Mr. Tibbs, verse 8 down to verse 10. I won't see what he's saying, 8 down to verse 10. And Mother E, have me Exodus chapter 1, verse 7, 12 through 14. Had that waiting on old seer when he kind of go and take a look at what we're working with right now. We go on to the 13th chapter of Revelation. This is end time prophecy, 8, 9, and 10. What is saying here, Mr. Tibbs? Come on.
In the book of Revelations, chapter 13, reading verses 8 to verse number 10. 8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of all those lambs slain from the foundation of the world." 9. "If any man have an ear, let him hear." 10. "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." Come.
What is in verse 10 there, Elder again? That's big time reading right there, Elder. He said what in verse 10?
Verse number 10. "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith, the covenant of the saints."
So he say, if you kill it with the sword, you must be killed with the sword. He said that's just a condition. If you kill it with a sword, he's saying, I don't care what condition you in, if you kill with the sword, you must be killed with the sword. So now, if you search the history of any people it had went and grabbed another people from off their land by whatever means of violence. He said, that's the same way you will be paid back in time to come. So if anybody have a history of violently taking something belonging to somebody else, he says, and you kill with a sword, you must be killed with a sword. Do I see the word called must there? Do I see a word that said M-U-S-T-A-L? I want to make sure that word there say otherwise, that's just the judgment. Is it the word that you may be, or is it must? And break that down for for this national order.
It says, It says shall, and I shall read that. It says, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. No doubt about it.
So what do that mean, L, for this 700,000 plus on the international side? What that mean? What that verse 10 is telling us?
In plain English?
Yes.
Well, whatever you do with the sword, it's going to be done back to you with a sword.
That's plain English, though. All right.
Plain English.
That's plain English. So, but it's not, it got nothing to do with race, color, or nothing. It got something to do with the laws that was passed down to the father, wrote it, gave it to his son, told the mental spirit, take it down to the elders. The elders take it down to the fathers. The fathers take it down to the mothers. The mothers take it down to the children. Now, you know, don't let your anger never get you in a position where now you want to bump somebody off. Because if you bump somebody off, then that same thing will happen to you. Sooner or later, you're going to be bumped off. So that's what he said. That's what will happen to you. So keep that in your mind. Don't let nobody pay you to bump somebody off. Because that money one day gonna run out, but that law gonna be over your head after he wake you back up and say, "Then you bump somebody off." Remember? Oh yeah, but I didn't get. I know. But you bump somebody off. Or you was part of the one that moved a person from one land to the next. Oh, I just drove the ship. Yeah, part of it. Domino effect. So now you keep this in your mind, domino effect. You didn't actually put nobody on the boat, but you drove the boat for a paycheck to a land that was not there. So you can get just as much. That's the way it is. They call that, the RICO, the accessory to it. They call it now, they got a man called the RICO. If you know of it, a part of it, you didn't actually go, but you were part of it because you was you drove the taxi away. Now that's the way it is. So understand. So don't put yourself in that predicament, because we're reading you what's gonna happen in the end. And all of a sudden, don't catch amnesia as 2-3 generations go past, because whatever on the table. Then it's going to happen to you sooner or later. So keep that in your mind. All right, enough said on that. So now, mother, E, I want to find out about a people in Exodus chapter 1, verse 7, 12 down to verse 14. Can you help those see out to see what's going on in Exodus chapter 1, verse 7, 12 down to verse 13. 14 out, Mother E, Exodus 1, verse 7, 12 to 14, you will not come up.
The book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 7, verse 12 to 14, verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty. and the land was filled with them. Verse 12. But the more they afflict them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Verse 13. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigors. Verse 14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigors.
What kind of rigor, mother? What kind of bondage? What kind of bondage were they in, mother? What kind of bondage were they in?
Hard
bondage. Back up one verse. Hard bondage. So now, who did people's mother in hard bondage? What is their name again? These people's got a history of being in what kind of bondage, mother? Their history.
Okay. The Israelites. The 12 tribes. That's the people. Israel. And you want me to read it?
No, just look down and tell me. What is their name that's in his hard body? What's their name?
Israel.
According to that verse and verse 7. What's their name? That's in, according to verse 7 and that verse you read. What is their name that's in hard bondage according to them two scriptures? What's their name?
In verse 7 it says, and the children of Israel were fruitful.
Uh-huh.
In verse...
Oh, okay. So that's the children of Israel. Now, who is that in hard bondage? Is there a name in hard bondage, that verse? Do they have a name on them too that was in hard bondage?
Well, that's it. And they made their lives. They, Israel. And they made their lives bitter.
Yeah. Who was the day? Who was the day that did that, mother? Huh? The day. Come back to verse 8. Yeah, of course to verse 8. Who was the day that made they... that made their life in hard bondage? Who was the day in verse number 8 and 13?
8 and 13. Okay.
Don't call them.
Verse 8.
They got me wrong. Okay, well, I see. You got they. Then they don't ask you, well, who the day done you wrong? Because we just, the day can be anybody. So who is the day is according to verse 8 and 13? What's the name of the day? Verse 8 and 13.
Verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, the Egyptian, which knew not Joseph.
Verse 13.
And the Egyptian made the children of Israel to serve with rigor.
Yeah,
and
rigor.
And they,
so now, mother, let's read verse 14. So now we shall be able to answer, you know.
Okay.
When you read verse 14. Now, let me read verse 14 again.
Exodus chapter 1, verse 14. And they, the Egyptians, made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in bricks and in all manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigors.
Oh. So the day is who? So who is the day? Yeah, that's right. So that's what the day is. So the day is the Egyptian. And the day they was Egyptian, they whooped the children of Israel. They made them serve in rigor, in hard bondage. somebody serving hard bondage, don't you know it is your history? You will never forget that. If you knew back in the day when he was growing up, a certain auntie was hard on you or whatever, always goes out of my head, you'll never forget that. I don't care how long you live. Anytime you got somebody going inside your head coming up, you don't forget it. You might forgive them for it, but you'll never forget it. So the children of Israel history come down to the Egyptians. Their history was when they was up under the power of Egypt, the Egyptians, they made them serve with rigor and hardness. So you know they passed it on from generation to generation.
Right.
When you come down to Egyptians. Now let's find out who these people's is, mother. I want to find out who these people's is. And they'll have me the third chapter waiting on me of Exodus. But I want to find out who these people's is that was in hard. Let's go to these. We're going to find out. It's not, the subject matter is not important. It's just I want to find out about a people you're talking about. You want to find out what they need. I don't want the subject matter. I just want to hear their name. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 4, can I get a name there, mother? All I'm just reading until we get a name. Then we'll find out who these people is. Exodus chapter 9. Verse 4 and 7. What did it say there, mother?
4 and 7.
Yeah. Exodus chapter 9, verse. Yeah, give me a name, mother. Just read. And when we get a name, that's all I need once I get a name. Exodus 9, verse 4. What did it say?
Exodus chapter 9, verse 4. And the Yahweh shall serve between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of the Egyptians. And there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. Verse 7.
Oh, right there. We got all Israel, the children of Israel. So Israel is father, and they are the children of Israel, their father. Okay, good. Now, we're talking about their cattle. Now we're going to verse 7 to find out who these peoples is. Israel, the children of Israel. Who is these peoples? Verse 7.
Verse 7. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the
good. So Israel, the children of Israel, is the who in verse 7? Who are they in verse 7?
The Israelites.
The Israelites. All right. So who we have got so far? So Israel, children of Israel, is the Israelites. So when you see the word Israel, of Israel, Israelites. That's the end of it. That's the foundation. So if any other name on these people, then we know somebody is somebody else, the people that we talking about is Israel, children of Israel, the Israelites. Their name, that's it. Let's get the second winners on to go to 2 Kings 3:34.
So I can
witness on 2 Kings 3:34. Make it 24. I'm going to get a second witness.
324.
Yes, ma'am. 324. I need a second witness on these peoples.
3:24. Okay, 2 Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 3, verse 24. And when they come to the camp of Israel, the Israelites arose up and smoothed the Moabites, so that they flee before them. But they went forward, meeting the Moabites, even in their country.
See, all I need is a name. I don't want to sterilize on a name. So when it came to the camp of Israel, they ought to who?
The Israelites.
Oh, that's all I wanted right there. So the camp of Israel, they ought to who? Who are they?
The Israelites.
The Israelites. That's it. So the camp of Israel, they are the Israelites. Good. Now what was said about them, mother, in 8 verse 1 of Exodus? What did the Almighty say about Israel, the Israelites? What was said in Exodus chapter 8 verse 1?
Exodus chapter 8 verse 1. Exodus chapter 8 verse 1. Okay. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1 reads, And the Yahweh speak unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus said the Yahweh, Let my people go, that they may serve me.
Mm. So, Yahweh spoke to Moses, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Who's the they, mother?
Okay.
Who's the they?
And the Yahweh.
Who's they? Israel, the Israelites. That's what the they is. So that's what he wants. So he's telling Moses plainly, I won't tell them to let my people go. He had to put it there because he already put it already there. So the Almighty's business is about his people, Israel, the Israelites. You go tell Pharaoh, the Egyptian, the big king, let my people go, Israel, the Israelites, that they may serve me. So that's the point we're going to get. So his people is Israel, the Israelites. That's the Almighty's people. Let them go for them to serve me. Elder, we know you was holding Exodus chapter 3 from me, but I need to make sure a seer, he pulled that verse in Joel there in 2:27-28. In the book of Joel, Elder, that verse was pulled. Well, we just got through reading. He says, you go tell Pharaoh in 8:1, let my people go. His people is Israel, the Israelites. But they may serve me. That's what he just said. Now, what we're going to do is find out what was told to the seer, Joel, in 2:27-28, pertaining to the same thing we read right here. Let my people go. Israel, the children of Israel, for they can serve me. Now, Joel, Elder, got something to say behind that. And what he's saying, 2:27-2:28 of Joel, what he said that we can read, Elder, you on the clock, come on.
In the book of Joel, looking at chapter 2, verses 27 and 28, 27 says, And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Yahweh, your Yahweh, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions.
Mm-hmm. But according to verse 27, Elder, when you read it again, can you break that down for the national audience? What is he saying in verse 23? Read it again, then break it down for the national audience. What is he telling Joel to tell whoever he's telling it to? Look at that verse again and read again, verse 27. Then just break that down. You're on the clock, come out.
Well, once again, reading that verse 27, it says, you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Basically, all the time, he's around in Israel. They may not see him, but he's there. And he's always the Yahuwah and none else. And they don't have to be ashamed of the name of Yahuwah. Your Yahuwah, and none else. And my people should never be ashamed. Well, nothing else but Yahuwah. I don't look at no other Yahuwahs. He is Yahuwah all the time, and nothing else. And you don't have to be ashamed of the name of Yahuwah.
That what you got out of it, right, El?
That's what I got out of it.
Mother E. Okay, Mother E, what you get out of it, Mother E? Hey, Molly, what you get out of that verse right there?
Okay. He is Yahuwah and no other Yahuwah. We shouldn't serve no other Yahuwahs but him.
And that's what you get out of it, huh? Okay, well, let those seer read that verse. Let me see. Will you and Elder change y'all take on it after Seer read the same verse. Let me find this verse.
Okay.
I'll read the same verse. No, Seer get ready to read it, Mother. I'm going to find the verse and I'm going to read the same verse.
Mm-hmm.
228. See, would y'all stick to what y'all said or would you change it, your verdict? And that's why we have to come on this airways to break this thing down with the mysteries of every verse. See what it says in verse 27. See if you're interested. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. And that I am the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, and none else. Now, what is he saying?
He's the Yahuwah, Israel, and no other Yahuwah.
I am the Yahuwah of Israel and none else. So he only the Yahuwah of one people. He's not the Yahuwah of the world. He's the Yahuwah of one people. One people, he's the Yahuwah. That's why he said, let my people go. So he made a choice to pick a people to take care of his business. So if anybody else of other people, other nations, they must come through Israel. and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Israel means the children of Israel, the Israelites.
Okay.
Then he says, and that I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, Israel, and none else. That means none else means the other peoples, the other nations. He made a choice. You got to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and my people, who is that? The children of Israel shall never be ashamed.
No.
Of one nation, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to be up there and let's see if we precept there and come up with a second witness. Hey, you ought to go to 147 verse 19 to the Psalms. Get a second witness. We're going to get up on it what we just said, the priest 1:19 or Psalms.
Okay, what was that, 137? Can you give me that verse again, Brother Sia? That was 137 chapter. I think the audio, Sia's audio cut.
147, 19, 20.
Oh, 147, 19 and 20. Of what book? Of the book of
Psalms.
Psalms?
Psalms. Yeah, Psalms.
Look at Psalms.
In the book of Psalms, chapter 147. Looking at verses 19 and 20. Verse 19 says, He shook his word unto Jacob, Israel, and his statutes, Torah instructions, and his judgment unto Israel. 20. He hath not dealt with any such nation, and for his judgments they have known him, them. Praise ye the Yahuwah.
Read that verse 20 again.
20 says, he hath not dealt with any nation, and for his judgments they have not known them. Praise ye Yahuwah, the Yahuwah.
They don't know his judgments. He told, the angel came down and told David that
your audio is cutting out, so that we couldn't hear you.
Israel, concerning the Almighty in the air, and for to always never forget what? What is he saying there, Elder? He's saying, so what man with the bell trying to
your audio's cutting out. I didn't quite hear what you were saying. Unless you were asking me about what
okay.
He said in 19 and 20. Now I hear you.
Yeah. What is he telling David?
Okay, the last thing I heard is, what is he telling David?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, what is
Okay, no audio at all. Maybe the WCC cut them off. I don't know. Now we're getting a bad echo. Actually, I think what he's saying here, he showed his word unto Jacob and his statutes and judgment, Israel. Well, to me, that says he just showed the word unto Israel and his statutes and judgment to the Israel, unto the land of Israel. And he didn't deal with any such nation except Israel.
So that what you get out of it, Elder?
Yeah, he showed his word unto Israel and his judgments. And he had not dealt with anyone except Israel, any nation.
Hmm. So what's that supposed to mean, Elder?
Well, the same thing like you hear. Everybody got the word, but nobody was given a word except Israel.
Oh. So if that's the case, if it's only one store to buy tires, and you chose to go to another store to get tires, hey, what's going to happen if it ain't but one store to have the tires?
I'm sorry about laughing, but you told to get some tires, and you get something else, you might get what they call make-ups. Look like a tire, but won't work.
Oh. So what we have found out, Elder, that he gave what to one people? And he is the what to one people. So what have we accomplished so far?
Accomplishing the fact that knowing, first of all, he gave his word unto Jacob, who's known as Israel, along with his statutes and judgments to the land of Israel. And he never dealt with so much with any nation.
So if that's the case, when it comes down to this Bible of information, according to what we just read so far, so who will be at the forefront of talking Bible with the information we just have exhibit on take number 8? So who will do talking there, Elder?
The one who was given the knowledge and the judgments to have the knowledge, Israel. Showed the word unto Israel, Jacob.
Okay, that sounds good, but it sounds like I'm sometimes you can sound like you kind of pull a teeth out the mouth. I mean, I just can't get a straight answer. Who is saying what, and what have we learned so far on tape 8 pertaining to when he says in the 8th chapter, verse 1, let my peoples go, and now we know the peoples he's talking about is Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites, for them to serve me. So if you are an Israelite descent, it was told to Moses to tell the children of Israel, they supposed to serve him because I am there, Yahweh, and none else. So now, when we go back to Joel again, we should see that verse more clearly with the understanding by the precepts. The precepts. The precept is saying what was not said plainly in 2:27. One more time. Now, go back to Joel again, 2:27. Well, this is for education, for education purposes. Look at Joel 2:27 one more time, and let's see, can we all come together on one consensus on what he's saying in 2:27. So what are you telling Joel to tell the children of Israel one more time in Joel 2:27 there? Mr. Tibbs, Joel 2:27.
The book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 27. 27 says, "And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed."
Now, what is he saying? Tell Joel. What
are
you saying, Elder?
Well, we can come up with other parables on that verse, but what this is saying, he's always in the midst of Israel. Yahuwah is always in the midst of Israel. And he's letting them know that he's Yahuwah, their Yahuwah, and no other Yahuwah. And his people don't have to be ashamed of him.
Okay, let me precept that again, Dan. Run the Amos 3, 1 and 2. Amos 3, 1 and 2. Let me get two more precepts on that. I need two more precepts on it. Let's go to Amos 3, 1 and 2. And Mother E, have me second Ezra, chapter 3, have me verse number 30 down to verse 36 waiting on me.
Chapter 3. 30 to 31.
Yes, ma'am. 30 to 36. Have that waiting on me. Now, come on, Elder. Give me Amos 3:1-2. Let's look at it one more time. Amos 3:1-2.
In the book of Amos, chapter 3, looking at verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 says, "Hear this word that I am the Yahuwah has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, Mizraim, saying, 2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your increases, sins."
Now, what is he saying? What is he saying in 3, 1 and 2, Elder? What do you think?
Well, in this one, he's saying that letting everybody know that he's the Yahuwah, that he spoke up against them and brought them from, after he brought them from the land of Egypt, saying that Israel is the only one he have known out of all the people on earth. And therefore, the crimes that you made, I will punish you for all your sins.
Okay, well, we look at it another way. Look at it another way. When you was raising your child, and you tell him, don't have nobody in my house while I'm going to work. And then when you come back home, to have some people in your house, do you punish everybody in your house, or you tell them to get them out the way? But then what would you tell your kids that you told them to don't do such things, but they did it anyway, but do everybody, do the neighbors, and the neighbors get punished for what you told your kids? Elder, who get punished?
Well, that's what I was trying to indicate. Israel is going to punish you because he's the only one that he invested his interest in. So out of the whole family which he brought from the land of Egypt, Israel the one to be punished. Nobody else.
Okay. And that's the point we're making. Well, sometimes you wonder why we get so much punishment on us. Now you know the reason. Because he's punishing you because you both know better. Just like you punish your child when you tell your child that don't have no company in the house while I'm gone. And when I come back, you got a whole crowd in the house. So I tell the crowd, look at y'all get out of my house. But you tell your kids, go upstairs and pull britches down, I'd be able to take care of you because you, I told you, and you are the ones I'm dealing with, I told you, but you went contrary to what? That's the reason why the people's called, but they don't even know who they are. Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites, is getting punished all over the world because he said, you supposed to know better. You supposed to teach your loved ones that I only deal with one people to be a light to the world. Everybody's supposed to come through you, and we'll get a case in point. Hold that point, Mother. We're going to get a case in point, Mother. What's your own? We're going to get a case
in point.
I think I got one. You got it? I think I got a case in point.
Yeah, because we just read here that he gets Israel and punished them because, first of all, the reason why Israel get punished is because he so loved them out of all the other nations. And a case in point for that, I think, is in Romans chapter 9, verse 13, where it is written that Jacob I have so loved, but Esau I have so hated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that one verse right there is saying that he had loved Jacob, Israel, but Esau, he so hated. So when he's known out of all the families of the earth, just Israel, he'd be punished.
Oh, okay. So who is Jacob today, and who is Esau today? So we can be clear that this, so who, according to today is Jacob, and who today is Esau, Elder, today?
Biblically speaking, the Esau man is described in Genesis 25:25.
Okay. And what do
that
say? Yes, sir. What do you say?
In Genesis 25, verse number 25, that description says, the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And we talk about that quite a bit on the network, so most people should be familiar with it. Who, when they get upset, most of the time turn red, and who's born with hair all over their body.
And who is that? Give us a picture today. So who would this Esau be today? Can you give me a picture of who this Esau is today? Yeah.
Look at Trump on the news when he start talking about Fox News. Look at his face. It turns red and flush.
Oh, okay. So now, who is Israel? Can I get a picture on who Israel today? Who is Israel? So we clear that Esau is the red man that calls himself white man today. Okay, good. So who is this Jacob today that can we get us something clear on who is Jacob today?
today? Who is Jacob today?
Jacob is known as Israel, according to the Bible. He was the second born, came out holding the heel of his brother. But today, the Israel would be the dark-skinned race.
Dark-skinned race. Well, you know, you got Ham. Ham is a dark-skinned race, too. So you got a lot of Arabs in dark-skinned race, too. So I need to be a little more clear about the dark-skinned race. What dark-skinned race that is Jacob today? I need to be a little more clear.
Okay, let's go with the listing of the tribal listings. Jacob, Judah,
okay.
Yadah Judah,
okay.
The lead tribe, the dark race, Yadah Judah, not that of the northern tribe or the southern tribe.
Okay. Well, let's look at it biblically, since the dark-skinned races is Judah. But Judah got brothers, too. What about his brother? What they look like? Well, what do his brothers look like? So we got Judah as a dark-skinned, but he only one out of how many?
Well, his first brother... are we still talking about Jacob or Judah?
What are you talking about? You mentioned Judah was the dark skin, but what about his brothers? What about his how many more brothers he have that we can read? Hey mother, run to 49:28 and give me a roll call of how many brothers? Genesis 49:28. How many brothers do Judah have, according to 49:28.
All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that there Father speak unto them and bless them, everyone according to his blessing. He blessed them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my question is to the elder, so we clear that Judah is a dark-skinned people, but what about his other brothers? And we found his other brothers, they have to be 11, and he makes 12. What about his other 11 brothers?
If we go to the other brothers, we'll be talking about a rainbow coalition.
Other brothers will be a rainbow coalition?
Dark-skinned people.
Well, dark-skinned people, if you go down the tribal list, you will see that there are different ventures of different tribes.
But I'm talking about according to the Bible. I'm calling to the Bible. Will they be a rainbow according to the Bible? Since you said Judah is a dark-skinned people, and I asked about the 11 brothers, is there anything in the Bible that will say they are rainbow or anything different? Let's see what the other brothers will look like. Since it's 11, let's see what the other brothers will look like. Let's go to Amos 9, verse 7. Let's see what the other brothers will look like that we can read out of biblically Bible. Go to Amos 9, verse 7, Elder. Let's see will they be a rainbow color. Amos 9, verse 7.
Okay, I'm in the book of Amos right now, chapter 9, verse 7. 7 says, "Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me? O children of Israel, saith the Yahuwah, have I not brought thee up out of Israel? the land of Egypt, Mizraim, and the Philistines from Canaan, and the Syrians from Kir.
Well, the question is, Elder, what do you believe all 12 tribes look like biblically? Do they look like rainbow, or they look like Amos 9:7? So biblically, what do all 12 tribes look like according to Amos 9:7? Biblically, what they look like? According to Amos 9:7. Yep. According to Amos 9:7, what do all of them look like?
Well, it's described the children of the Ethiopians.
Mm-hmm.
You are not all children of the Ethiopians unto me.
So what do all 12 tribes look like according to Amos 9:7?
Ethiopians are dark-skinned people.
So, according to the Bible, all 12 tribes look like who, according to Amos 9:7?
Ethiopians.
So they're not rainbow. So they wasn't rainbow in the beginning.
They weren't rainbow in the beginning until they started diversing outward.
So when the Almighty was dealing with them according to the Bible, they all look like who? According to Amos 9:7.
Like the Ethiopians.
So all 12 tribes, exactly right. So all 12 tribes in the beginning, when he made them up from Jacob, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes, they all had one basic color, and they was not rainbow. They all looked like the Ethiopians, which is Cushites, which is descendants of Ham, 10:6. That's what they
were.
Right. There was never a rainbow.
That's right.
Now they can be depicted as rainbow today through a lot of other races mixing their seed in with them, but never was so in the beginning. Is that more correct, Elder?
That is right on point, and that's what we're taught, and that's what we generally pass out. That's why we have that list of people from the five tribes.
Now, we need a backup verse on that to make sure by going to Jeremiah. Now, they was depicted to look like the Ethiopians. In that. So if I want to know what the ancient Israelites look like today, all I got to do is find the Ethiopians and look at them. Then I'll be clear what the Israelites of the ancient time of the Bible. So now, I want to get a precept on that by going to Jeremiah 13:23.
Okay, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 13, looking at verse number 23. 23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then they may
stop it there.
Ye also.
Stop it there. Stop it there. There's a question on the table. Can the Ethiopian change their skin? So 5,000 years ago, the Israelites looked like them, and they was black then. So if you look over there in Ethiopia today, they still black. So you cannot change your skin. So they was compared to the Ethiopian, and can an Ethiopian change their skin? No. No. Just like a leopard cannot change his spots. If you dig up a leopard 5,000 years ago and take Stephen's spots on it and go to Brookfield Zoo and look at the leopard. They got the same spot. So letting you know that the ancient children of Israel, if you want to know what they look like with your Bible open, just go look at the Ethiopians. The Ethiopians didn't change their skin yesterday, and their skin has not changed today. So the biblical Israelites of the Bible look like, compared themselves to, skin of the Ethiopians. They were black then, and they all shades of brown skin today. So we clear what they look like. So all 12 tribes was never a rainbow until other nations started mixing with cosmetic color to evaporate from dark to all shades of brown. All right, good. We got that out the way. So now we through with that part. Now I want to go back and get one more thing, Mother. I want to find out about one more. You told a seer about something in 2 Ezra chapter 3. Mm-hmm. Look at verse 39 and verse 36. Take your time there, Mother. We got plenty of time. We're just throwing a few things around, and you never know. It's always about Yahweh's word, so we read his word. So now he's talking to me, took the picture up. He's talking to the seer of the hour called Ezra. Ezra got a lot of questions, and Almighty sent the minister spirit down there to answer his questions. Let's see what he says that we can do. Matter of fact, pick it up at verse number 28, because Ezra wants some answers. And he's going to ask some questions, and you know the one that can answer the questions, it is the number spirit from heaven. So Ezra can explain to the children of Israel what the Almighty think about anything. So he got some questions he wants to know about. Let's see what he want to know about our Mother Eve. We're looking at 2 Ezra chapter 3, verse 28. What is Ezra the fear concerns? In verse 28.
2 Ezra chapter 3, verse 28. Are there then any better than inhabited Babylon, that they should therefore have the dominion over the city of David?
Judah? Hold that point. Judah? So now the question he asked the angel, he said, I know we in captivity, Mr. Holy Ghost, the angel, but I just want to ask one question by being the seer of the hour, not he said, is a Babylon a better people than Judah? He said, I just want to give me an answer. I'm watching something. We in captivity up under them, Babylon. And my question is to you, big dignitary from heaven, if Babylon, why do they have dominion over Judah? He said, can you answer that question for me? Okay, now I broke that down. Next, verse 29. What's saying 29?
Verse 29. When I came hither, and had seen impiety without number, then my soul saw many evildoers in this 30th year, so that my mind failed me.
Well, you see, when I came into captivity to Babylon, I seen a whole lot of things. Is that been 30 years now, Mr. Big Dignitary from heaven? He said, I've been for 30 years, and I don't see some things, and I just don't understand. You know, the peoples of Judah be asking me questions. I don't have answers. He said, but I've been here for 30 years. Can you help me out to help them? What do you say in verse 30?
Verse 30. For I have seen how thou suffer them. For I have seen how they suffer them, sinners, and has spread wicked doers, and has destroyed the people, and has preserved the enemy, and has not signified it.
He said, I see how you have spared. He said, I see how you have spared the enemy with their wicked self. I see how you have gave them a pass. He said, now I'm watching things, Mr. Angel. He said, I have seen how you suffer them. Sinner. They sin it. You have spared the wicked doers. He said, I watch you. I watch them. They wicked as H. We've been over here for 30 years, and I'm watching them, and you won't do nothing to them. And we know we're the peoples of the book, but we've been over here for 30 years, and you won't do nothing to them. And it seems to me, they skinning and grinning, and everybody happy, and we suffering. Okay, I broke that verse down. 31.
I do not remember how this way may be left. Are they being of Babylon better than they of Chaldea Judah?
He said, now, he said, I don't know. I mean, I just want to ask you a question, Mr. Holy Ghost, big dignitary from heaven. Is Babylon better than your people, Judah? Because I see them sinning and grinning. Everybody happy. Everybody can find their $10. Everybody happy. Everybody sinning and grinning. He said, would you tell me if the other nation better than your people's Judah? The Israelites. Would you tell me this? That's what I want to know. What does it say in verse 32?
Verse 32. Or is there any other people that knoweth thee besides Israel? Of what generation has so believed thy covenant as Israel?
He says, he says in verse 32, is there any other people that know you, Yahuwah, besides Israel? He said, because he said, I know I read Amos where it says, in Amos 3:1-2, he said, Israel, you only have I known out of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I'm going to punish you for everything that you do. So he read Amos. He said, wait a minute. I know that the only people since the foundation of the world, when it came down to a nation, only deal with one people, according to a nation. He said, I know this, but I won't know that you make any kind of adjustment, because the wicked is skinning and grinning, and I won't know how long we're going to be in this predicament. Okay, I'm putting that down. Good enough. 33. Now, remember, the angel just listened to him. The angel is just sitting there all ears, listening at the seer bump his gums. Verse 33.
And yet their reward apparently not, and their labor has no fruit. For I have gone here and there throughout the kingdoms, and I see that they follow in wealth and think not upon their commandments.
He said, I've been around for 30 years on watching. They do everything contrary to your word. They don't even pick up your word. They serve things that I don't even know what they're doing. But I'm watching them prosper, and they got us in captivity. He said, I just want to know about this thing. We in captivity, and they skinning and grinning. Is the world better than your people, Israel, especially Judah? I want to know. The big angel still listening. He's still listening. He's watching to see if bump his gums or not. Verse 30, what he say in 34?
Wait there, therefore, our wickedness now in the balance, and there also that dwell in the world, and so shall your name no more nowhere be found but in Israel.
You know what he said, the world, all over the world. He said, the only one know your name is one people. That's Israel.
Right.
He said, other nations, he said, I know, I read what David said. You only Israel. He says, the other nation, he haven't dealt with them. So the other nation can't tell you about his name. Why? Because he didn't give it to them to tell you about his name. See, the other nation only can get his name through you. And that's why you hear today all the nations call him Lord God Jesus Allah and Buddha. Because he ain't dealing with them. He's still dealing with you. And that's what Ezra was saying today. All those nations, they don't even know nothing about your covenant. They don't know nothing about your name. So he asking the big old minister, the big dignitary from heaven. The other nations don't even know your name. They don't know nothing about the covenant. But they skinning and grinning. So he ain't still listening. And what happened next in 35?
Verse 35. Of when was it that they which dwell upon the earth have not seen in thy sight? Or what people have so kept their Torah instruction?
He said, when did the other nations stop doing what they were doing? They ain't never stopped doing what they were doing even to this day. All other nations, they keep Sunday, Lord God and Jesus. They don't want no fringes. They do everything contrary to the Bible, but they got their $10. We paying them for light, gas, water, and everything else. And we still wonder, why is they still in control? He said, none of the other nations keep what you got written in the Bible, even to this day. So he's never. Ain't just still listening. He's still listening. Ain't said a word. See, sometimes you got to let a person bump the gums and get it all out. So Ezra he's bumping his gums real good. And the big angel still listening. Now, he going to say something to the angel in verse 36. What he say?
Verse 36. Thus shall find that Israel by name has kept their precepts, but not the nation. 17.
He said, Israel by name, they kept the precepts, but none of the other nation got a clue about a precept even to this day. You go on any TV program, and you just look at any of the nations, Christians, Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalians, Roman Catholics, all they do is just read the Bible and tell you what it's saying. They will never precept the Bible. And that's what he's saying even today. Now, the next time you listen to a sermon of a good preacher, watch him just read some verses. Then he'll expound on the verses. He will never precept the Bible upon the Christianity, Islam, Judaism, whatever religion it is. They will never precept the Bible. And that's what he just said. He says in verse 36, thou shalt find that Israel by name have kept thy precept, but not the nations. You see the man saying? Now, he said, now, they don't pay you no never mind even to this day. And we still pay them for water, gas, lights, and everything. They got dominion over us and everything else. Where is this? That what he asked. Remember, the angel ain't said a word yet. So sometimes you got to know how to be a great listener. Then when they finally get to get it all out, then you both be able to go in the Bible and show them what it is. See? See, this is what we trying to tell the six anointed camps. You got to be 2 Timothy 3:15 through 18. What it say, yo? What it say in 2 Timothy 3:15 down verse 18? See, you got to let the world talk. Let them talk. But listen to what the Bible says, how you supposed to respond. The six anointed camps are children of Israel. This is how you supposed to respond when those that got things to say, don't interrupt them. Let them talk. Then when they come up on some air, look what it says in 2 Timothy 3:15 on verse 18. What it say, Mr. Tibbs, what it say?
2
Timothy 3. Elder, Mr. Tibbs, 2 Timothy 3, 15 down to verse 18. What did it say, Elder?
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. 15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the righteous scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Yahweh the Son. 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 17, that the man of Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
So, Phil, so the man of the Almighty must use what to correct whatever it is. What do the man of the Almighty must use to correct whatever situation going on in the world? What do the Bible say that a man of the Almighty must use to correct whatever it is? According to 3:15.
According to 3:15.
Yeah.
From a child, you've known the righteous scriptures.
Uh-huh. So
they may able to make you wise.
Oh. So a man of Yahweh. So a man of Yahweh must know what, according to 3:15.
Knowing the scriptures, righteous scriptures.
Oh.
And that'll help make you wise.
You let them bump their gums, and when they get through talking, what do the man of Yahweh both do? Show them to make them wise and keep himself wise. What are you supposed to do? Get in a bump the gum contest? According to 3:15, what do the man of Yahweh supposed to do? According to 3:15.
according to 3:15, like I say, the scriptures make you wise. But
oh, okay, good. So the man of Yahuwah, just like the seer is listening to Ezra talk about the problems that we have today in this time. He let him talk it out. Then he got the, but we're not going to read it in this lesson, he got to show on him what causes you the problem that you have, and what he did, Mother Eve. He took him to a verse to let him know here is the problem. And Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 to 17, and Elder will pick it up from 18. We're just going to keep reading. Now, he let him bump his gums real good. He said, how are these, all these other nations is got dominion over us and beating us down, and we your chosen peoples. He went through all that. The angels sit there and listen to everything he's saying. Then once he got through talking, then what he did, told Ezra what Mother getting ready to read in the 28th chapter, verse 15 down to verse 17 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28, 15 to 17. What did it say that, Mother E? What did it say that we can read in Deuteronomy 28, 15 down to verse 17? Mother E, we in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we look at verse 15 down to verse 17, and Elder going to pick it up at 18. So now he let the seer bump his gums real good. Now he told him when he came up on some air, he told him, now, what do your manuscript says in Deuteronomy 28, 15 down to verse 17. What did it say that, Mother E? 15 down to verse 17, come on.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 15 to 17. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, to observe to do all his commandments, your instructions, and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Verse 16, cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Verse 17, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store.
Oh, so I planted that, Mother. So, Mother, what is he saying that we can read about the children by Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites? According to what you just got to read from 15 down to verse 17, what is he saying, Mother?
It's saying if you don't hearken to the voice of Yahuwah to keep all the Torah instructions and statutes, which he commanded this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee, and curse shall thou be in the city,
cursed in your field, you'll be cursed in your basket, you'll be cursed in your store. So now you see why the black stores, the Israelite black stores, they never be in business long, because them same curses is on them, because they try to be like the other nation. That's why you very seldom can find any kind of Israelite store, even this day. You're the one you call African American Negro, because Yahuwah put a curse on them because of they won't obey the rules or regulations of their forefathers and mothers. The Moses tell them. Now, I got plenty of blessings on them, but they got to remember who I am and who they are. Now, if they got a problem with remembering, I'm going to keep dropping these curses on you until you wake up and say, wait a minute, this is two persons. We is in bad shape as Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be divine while we're in it. How do we get out of it? Let's find out some more, Elder. Now, in verse 18, let's read a little bit, Elder, and see if we tie this in on Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites. Take a look at verse 18, Elder. Let's read a little bit. Come on.
Okay. Still reading from the chapter 28, reading verse 18. 18 says, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep.
Go ahead.
19. Cursed that shall be thou when thou comest in, and cursed shall be when thou goest out. 20. The Yahuwah shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all thou seest in thy land until y'all be destroyed, until thou be perished quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings. Thereby thou hast forsaken me.
Hold that point, Elder. So what will happen so far, Elder? What will happen so far? Now, you've done some powerful reading from 18 to verse 20. Now, what will happen so far? Remember, Israel, the seed was bumping his gum real good. And the angel of the Most High direct him back to Deuteronomy. So what have you got out of this according to 18 down to verse 20? What you get out of this, Elder, 18 down to verse 20?
From 18 to 20, it's a real bad beatdown. Want me to explain it or just read it again?
Yes, sir. Playing for the national audience that say they all ears and they glued to their seats over 700,000 plus. They glued to their seats for you to break down 18 down to verse 20 so they can understand exactly what's going on. Come on.
Well, be cursed from the body and even from the production of the land and from the increase of their kind, even for the flocks and their sheep is cursed. And even when they coming, and even when they going. Now, so no matter which way you're going, you're cursed in and cursed going out. And then the Yahuwah shall send his real spanking on you, cursing, vexation, rebuke, until everybody be destroyed and perish quickly, because you've done wicked things and has forsaken him. So he give you a real bad beat down.
Because we have done what?
Forsaken.
Say it again, Mo. Say it again, a little louder.
Forsaken, yep.
Because we have forsaken him. You say, you tell him, Mo, because
he's
forsaken me. And I'm yep. You say, I'm going to beat them down because somewhere they're going to forsake me, Moses, and I'm going to beat them down. Is that what we're reading so far, Elder?
That's exactly what you read. Real bad. What I'm looking at, he don't kill you right away. He beat you down by the body, by your land, by your kind, everything you own. When you're coming and going, then destroy you.
So. According to 18 to 20, Elder, who is this that he's talking about that we can read? According to the Bible, who is this 18 and 20? Is he talking about, who is he talking about between 18 to 20, according to the Bible? I mean, you say, and I go pull a verse up. So who is he talking to? In 18, 19, and 20.
He's talking to those that disobey. He's talking to those that disobey his word and have forsaken him, and showing them what the punishment what he's going to do.
What could be anybody? That's not my question. To those, what people that we can read? He's talking about. Those can be anybody. Anybody can say that those. I mean, somebody might ask, well, who's these? Who's those? Who is he specifically talking about? According to 18 down to verse 20, I need a name, yeah. Or is it everybody? I need a name, I need a name from 18 to 20. Who is this letter to? You know, it's like you go to the pit, like you go and not say you go to the pit of attention, you might go there and visit. And they got roll calls for mail. And if you call a name out and somebody else intercept that mail, you will be in trouble. So when they call out a name for the mail, that mail call, they got mail, although they'll be read it or you get it anyway, a specific name on that letter for roll call. We got mail. We got mail for such such person. So I don't know who this mail letter addressed to 18, 19, 20.
That's the nation of Israel.
What now, L?
The nation of Israel?
So you saying that as a question. I need an answer. Is you saying that as a question or are you giving me an answer?
Well, I'm giving you an answer, what I believe this is headed for, the nation of Israel, for disobeying his word.
Give me an answer most soundly, but it sounds like you're making it a question. But let's make those here clear that if you give me an answer or is it a question. I ask who these people you talk about between 18 and 20, give those here straight up answer, or you gonna keep it as a question?
Well, no, this is not a question. I'm saying that it is Israel that he's given the beat down to for sake of his word.
Okay, good. So that's good. So when I read Deuteronomy 28:18-20, this talking to a specific people called Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites. Now let's go see if we prove that by going to the fourth chapter. We're going to the fourth chapter Elder of Deuteronomy. Let's see if we prove that he's talking to one people. He's not talking to all the world. He ain't talking to rainbow. He's talking to one people. We go on to Deuteronomy 4, 1, 2, and 5. We're going to Deuteronomy 4, Elder, Mr. Till, verse 1, 2, and 5. What that say in Deuteronomy 4, 1, 2, and 5?
Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 1. 2 and 5, you said, or 4 and 5?
Deuteronomy 4, verse 1, 2, and 5.
Okay, verse 1, 2, and 5. Chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. Verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, of your fathers, given you. 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of Torah instructions of the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, which I command you. Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes or Torah instructions and judgment, even as the Yahuwah, my Yahuwah, commanded me that you should do so in the land, whether you go to possess it.
So So now Moses reminding them of what was said in verse 4, and who is Moses talking to, Elder? So when we read Deuteronomy 28:18 down to verse 20, who is Moses specifically talking to according to Deuteronomy 4, 1, 2, and 5?
He's talking to the congregation of Israel.
Oh, good.
Teaching them, yeah, teaching them all the statutes and judgment, the whole congregation.
So when we read the 28th chapter, 18, 19, and 20, he's talking to a specific people called Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites. Is that correct, Elder?
That is most correct.
All right. Skip down to verse 25 and 26. Let's see what he says to Israel, the Israelites, the children of Israel. What did he say to them in 25 and 26? In Deuteronomy 4, verse 25 and 26. What did he say to them that we can read?
Verses 25 and 26, reading from chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. 25 says, when thou shalt begat children and children's children, ye shall have a mean.
Hold on. Give me verse 24, make it sound good. Oh, that's right. That's okay. Yeah, you're right. Go ahead, 25. Okay, with me.
Okay.
So you said that, take me down to verse 27.
25. Okay, I'm taking notes so I can stay with you. 25
verse 26.
Verse 27. Uh-huh. 25 says, when thou shalt begat children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall have corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Yahuwah, to provoke him to anger. 26. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish off the land, whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed.
27.
Okay. And the Yahuwah shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left fewer in number among the heathen nations, where the Yahuwah shall lead you.
Well, so now what do you say? Now, according to verse 25 down to verse 27, what is he saying, yo? What is he saying between 25 to 27?
Well, basically, this is a long statement because it seems like when they had children, they corrupted their children. And by being corrupt, they started making graven images and likeness of anything except Yahuwah. They made him angry. So he called on heaven and earth to as a witness and purged him off the land that he told him to go and possess. And used that word to utterly destroy it.
I got a question for you. Is the children of Israel today, is they making graven image today? And what is a graven image? So if he was mad then for making graven image, you think he mad at the children of Israel today, Ethel?
Is that an actual question that you're asking me for today, what they're doing, or back during biblical times?
If he was mad then for them making a graven image, do you think he mad at the children of Israel today for doing the same thing?
To answer that question actually, instead of using the word utterly, it would be ultimately. Because not only are they making graven images and wearing them around their neck, they're even making graven images on their body to represent other things and demons.
Oh. Well, you mean they doing the same thing that was prophesied If they do it, I'm not with you. If you make a graven image and a graven image, hey, Mother, can you help those see out what is a graven image that we can read in Deuteronomy 28:61? Can you tell me? Now, make it 64. Make it 64. Deuteronomy 28:64. What is a graven image that we can have an idea? We might right now want to go to places and take somebody something there or go there and visit. Now, Almighty just said, I don't like you, Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites, to be part of anything that got graven images to it. So now, when we drive into a place and we see that, we clear that the Almighty don't like it. So what is this graven image that we can read that he don't like, Mother? Let's see what it is in 28:64. What is it that we can read that what he don't like?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28:64. And the Yahweh shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And thou dost shall serve other Yahweh, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone.
What? You mean your father never knew that back in the day, but they know it now. What is this wood? Oh, that's the cross. That's the cross that you got on your passport, around your neck, the cross. And what is this stone? That's the Mecca cobblestone that's over there in Mecca. The big rock. They serve the rock, walk around the rock with the black curtain over it. He said the children of Israel are going to do this, Moses. They're going to make them a graven image of a cross. And they're going to put it right in front of their building. And I don't like it, Moses. But guess what the children of Israel are going to do? They still going to go in there. And they're going to sit down at the seats, in the seats. And they're going to be looking at a man that's standing behind a roster, a pulpit. But on the front, it's going to be a cross. And behind his head, it's going to be a cross. But he going to be talking about the Almighty One, and he just said, I don't like that. Now, go on a job, and when they give you an assignment to do one thing, then you do another thing. Hey, Mother, how many paychecks do you think you're going to get from him if he signed you do one thing and you do something else? How many paychecks you going to get there, Mother?
Man.
Not get none. So how many paychecks are we getting as the children of Israel by going to places on the wrong day, and we see that cross sign before we get in there, we see it. And when we sit down, we looking at straight ahead at the man behind the roster. He got a cross on his pulpit and one behind on the wall. Now, what kind of blessing is in that according to the Mighty One?
Sin, that's a sin. And no blessing, that's a curse.
That's a curse. Exactly right. Now, the only one that give the blessing on that. Let's read again the Elder. Let's run to Luke. Let's run to Luke. Let's make it Matthew this time. Let's find out who blesses that that go contrary to what the Bible says? Who blesses that that we can read? We're going to Matthew chapter 4, Elder. Let's see who blesses that. When the one that made the heaven and earth said, no, I don't like that stuff. But who do like it that we can read? We're going to Matthew there, Elder. And we're going to look at Matthew verse 8 and 9. It's going to Matthew 4. I hear your mother Z saying, here, it's time for me now. It's time for the mother Z show by now. In the series. You're right, mother. You're right. You're right. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, Elder. Come on, get that out the way, Elder. And Mother Z says it's time for her show to come in and give a commentary on what she heard. So we're going to Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. What it say? Come on, Elder.
Okay. In the book of Matthew is chapter 4, reading verses 8 and 9. 8 says, and again, the devil taketh him up unto an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. 9, and said unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou shalt fall down and worship me.
Wow. So you mean Satan in the blessing business to elders?
Absolutely.
Oh. He said, now, if you worship me, the Bible said keep Sabbath day, but Satan said keep Sunday. The Bible said don't have no graven image, no kind of likeness, but Satan said have all the graven image, matter of fact, put them in life. And you know, everywhere you go, to any of these Christians, or go to the Catholic, and you see statues everywhere, and you see a cross sign everywhere, even flashing in light. So we know who really they worshiping, according to the Bible. See, the children of Israel hearing these things, but when they're going to plow what the Bible's saying, he don't like it. He don't like it. And you read, he don't like it. Well, we're going to stop right there and bring Mother in, Mother Zeke, or Mother Zeke. Now, see, look, I heard enough. I'm ready to get my commentary to the 700,000 plus on the international side. So bring me on now, see? All right. Well, you meet the Mother Zeke, tribe of Yagda, Judah, Camwan. Hey, Mother Zeke, y'all quite beat you that seed, right?
Y'all quite bless and keep you, seed, Israel. All right,
hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Well, I know you heard a whole lot, Mother. But whatever the Almighty got for you to tell this national audience on tape 8, take your time. You got the flow, and the world is listening. Come on.
I'm going to go back to Lamentation, where I was reading last night, and use some more of Lamentation. Starting at Lamentation chapter 3, verse 13, and I read down, so I don't know where. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 13, he has caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into to my rest.
Ring.
Into my ring. Verse 14. I was derived to all my people, and they sung all the day. Verse 15. He has filled me with bitterness tears. He has made me drunk with wormwood. Verse 16. He has also broken my teeth with grievous stones. He has covered me with ashes, verse 17, and thus has removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot
prosperity.
I forgot prosperity, verse 18, and I said my strength and my hope is perished from the Yahweh, verse 19. Remember my affliction and my misery, the wormwood
And Gauls, verse 20, my soul have thus, my soul have
hated,
my soul hate them still in remembrance and in harmony, humble in me. Verse 21. They just I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Verse 22. It is of the Yahweh's mercy that we are not consumed because
His compassion fail not.
Verse 23. They are new every morning. Greater is the faithfulness. Verse 24. The Yahweh is my portion, said my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Verse 25. The Yahweh is good unto them that wait for him, to the souls that seek him. Verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Yahweh. Verse 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Verse 28. He sit alone and keep silent because he has borne it upon him. Verse 29. He put his mouth in the dry. He put his mouth in the dust. If so be that many be that they may be hope. Verse 30. He gave his sheep to him that smite him. He is full with reproach. I'm going to stop reading at verse 33. For the Yahweh will not cast off forever. Verse 32. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercy. Verse 33. For he do not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of man. And I'm gonna say Hallelujah Yahweh.
All right, Hallelujah Yahweh. Well, we got the message planned. Moses, if you understand exactly what you brought for take number 8, Yahweh is saying, you get me right, I'll get you right. So we found out some good stuff on the way, that Yahweh do not like when he tell you one thing and you do total opposite and respect his blessing. So now we go on to Nehemiah. Mother. Go on the book of Nehemiah and see what happens when you when he tell you something that's written in the Bible. and you will go contrary to that. Let's see what Nehemiah said that we can read in the book of Nehemiah. He said something, Mother, that we can read in the book of Nehemiah. He said something that we can read, that we need to read, Mother. So we're in the book of Nehemiah, and we in chapter, let's see. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 6.
Chapter
6. Do I want 6? Let me see. Do I want 6? No, I'll tell you what. Make it verse 9. And we'll put it verse 34 down to verse number 37. We're going
chapter
Nehemiah
9.
9, verse 34 and 37. What is that, Mother, that we can read in Nehemiah and look at WCC? Yeah, you know, we got to mute somebody. We going to mute the elder. We going to mute the elder on tape 8. So you and the mother got to make it the best way you can. Well, all right. We go on to the 9th chapter, Mother E. Seems like we got a ticket on in there, Mother E. Because the big dignitaries, they don't like the messes. So we got a ticket on in, Mother. Let's see what it says in the 9th chapter, verse 37. What it said, Mother, that we can read? Come on.
Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 34 to 37.
Mm-hmm.
Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 34. Neither have our king, our prince, our priest, nor our father kept the law, nor hearkened unto their commandments. And they testimony wherewith thus did testify against them. Verse 35. For they have not served thee in their kingdom and in thy great goodness that thou givest them and in the largest and large and that land which thou givest before them, neither turn they from their wicked works. Verse 36. Behold, we are servants this day and for the land that thou givest unto our father to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof. Behold, we are servants in it. Verse 37. And it yield much increase unto the king whom thus has set over us because of our sin also, because of our sin. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress.
Wow. What is he saying, Mother? What is Nehemiah saying about our folk mothers and fathers, and what's going on that they saying in 35 to 37? What is Nehemiah saying the condition of Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites? What is he saying, Mother, that break that down for those seer in 35 to 37? What is he saying, Mother? Come on.
It said they had kept, okay, it's saying that, verse 34 is saying that the princes or the priests, nor our fathers had kept the law. And they hadn't hearkened unto the commandments and they testimony without I did testify against them. Oh, okay. So they didn't keep the command, the law and the commandments, so Yahweh testified against them whether they did. Well, we just did testify against them, okay? Verse 35. And they didn't serve in the kingdom in the great goodness that God gives them. And Lord, that land. And the Lord that man which us giveth before him. He turned they from their wicked works. Verse 36 it said that they are serving this day and for the land. And they are serving this day and for the land that thus giveth unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof. And in verse 37 it says, and it yield much increase in unto the king whom thus have set over us, the king who is set over Israel, because of our sins. For they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle. And we are in
what
great
they saying, So what it means, I'm saying, they got dominion over our bodies. That means that we need medicine, food, everything, clothing. We got to go to our enemy
right. Because
of our sin. So the reason why now the doctors look like somebody else. They can tell you what's wrong with you now. Oh, well, you need some, I know what you need. You need a nice big bottle of diabetic pills. You need some high blood pressure pills. Oh, I know what you need. You need high blood pressure pills. You need some diabetic pills. See, that's what they say. See, they got dominions over your body. They tell you what you need. You got to go to them to find out what you need. What's wrong with me, doctor? What you mean, what's wrong with you? This is what's going on. They never tell you that that you need to do the run. Verse 29-30. Hey, mother, they'll never tell you about Deuteronomy 2:29-30. They'll tell you what I need now with my high blood pressure, and I'm a diabetic, I'm everything. Mm-hmm. You'll never tell you Genesis 2:29-30. What did it say that, mother? In Genesis 2:29-30. What did it say? Genesis. He never give you a medicine description to tell you, why don't you go back home and read your Bible in 2:29-30. What does it say?
Genesis chapter 2:29-30. They don't go to 25.
Okay, well, give me Genesis chapter 1. Make it 1. 29. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Mother Z. That's 1:29-30. Thank you, Mother Z.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. And Yahweh said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. Verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it is, and it was so.
Mm-hmm. So, Mother, do doctors ever tell us why they never give us prescriptions to tell us to go home and stop by the store and get some green herbs? Do they ever tell us that, Mother?
Mm-mm. No.
No, they don't tell us that. They'll tell you about some blood, high blood medicine, and some diabetic pills. They'll write you a prescription for that, but they'll never write you a prescription on 129:30. Mm-hmm. And in Psalm 104, verse 14 says what? Psalm 104, verse 14.
Book of Psalms, chapter 104, verse 14. Verse 14 reads, Psalm 104, verse 14. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and herbs for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth.
Mm-hmm. So when did the doctors ever tell us, Mother, that herbs is for the service of man? What make a man's body right? Have they ever told us, Mother, that herbs is for the service of man? Have they ever gave you a prescription on that verse, Mother?
No, there won't be no prescription on no herbs.
They don't give no scripture, no words.
Mm-hmm.
We see what it means, mm-hmm, by they got being over our bodies, and that's why, mm-hmm, we're in the condition today, because we have sinned against him.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got being over our bodies. Now we got all these ailments in our bodies because we go to him. And, mm-hmm, and he said the service a man is herbs. So herbs bring a man back. Matter of fact, a full course meal, let's go to Numbers 11, verse 5. Let's look at a full course meal, Mother. Let's go to Numbers 11, verse 5 and look at a full course meal. Herbs is the heal of our body. It's service of man. That means green food. All the green food you get your mouth on, that's what man's supposed to have in his body. Green food and corn.
Mm-hmm.
Green food and corn in his body, that's the service of man. And that means one man, two. What you read, Mother?
Numbers 11, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt. The cucumbers and the melons and the leek and the onion and the garlic.
So, Mother, now you just read a full course meal for a man to eat, and that's the service of man. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3, and we'll pick up verse 7 down to verse 13 in a closing statement. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13, closing statement.
Malachi chapter 3, verse 13.
That the world got dominion over our bodies because we refuse to do what the man tells them to do. Green food and corn will keep our bodies kicking and clicking, according to the Almighty. What do Malachi 3, verse 7 down to verse 13 say in the closing statement? What does it say?
The book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 7 to 13. Malachi, chapter 3, verse 7. Even from the day of your youth, even from the day of your father, you are gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Yahweh of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Verse 8, will a man rob Yahweh? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithe and offering? Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and through me now will live, said the Yahweh of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time. In the field, said the Yahweh of hosts. Verse 12, all nations shall call you, all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, said the Yahweh of hosts. Verse 13, your words have been stout against me, said the Yahweh. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee?
You say your words are stout because everything I got written, you will not do it. I got it written what the servants of men told you what I want you to do, that you can read, but you have a problem of doing what I tell you to do. And that's why your words are stout on me. You try to come up another way, and mother, when you come up another way, when you don't want to do the Bible, give me St. John 10:1 in a closing statement. Let's see what happens when you try to do things and make your words stout on him. And St. John 10:1 in a closing statement. And remember, tomorrow we'll be back on Saturday at 7:30, top part of Saturday. Be back on the airways again tomorrow at 7:30. Top Father Saturday. Hey, mother, what did it make you when you don't want to do what he got written in his Bible in St. John 10:1 and closing statement?
St. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up from other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
So when you don't want to follow what he got written in his Bible, you won't do it your way. Hey, Mother Eve, what that make you according to the Almighty when you don't want, you hear in the scripture what it telling you to do, but you want to do it another way? What that make you according to 10:1 on St. John in the closing statement?
A thief and a robber.
That's the end of it. That's the end of it. Take your time, mother. Closing statement. Tomorrow at 7:30, back on our way. What you got to say behind that, mother? Mother E. Closing statement. The floor is all yours.
Okay, I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, yet that seek the Yahweh, look unto the rock which ye are hewed, and to the hole of the pit which ye are hewed. Okay, I won't go further. Verse 2, look unto Abraham, your father, and to Sarah that bare you, for I call him alone and bless him, and I increase him. But verse 3, for the Yahweh shall comfort Yahweh Judah, he shall comfort all her ways. Places, and he will make her wilderness like Edom, and her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hallelujah.
Excellent. Ain't nothing to say behind that, mother. You made it plain. If you want your garden of Eden to return back to you, why don't you do what the Bible tell you to do? If the Bible tell you to do this, why don't you try that and see how it'll work for you if you follow the Bible? Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites. That's the only name he gave you. If you call by any other name, you're not under the will of him. All right. We'll leave it like that to the mothers, the elders, the brothers of the six anointed camps, the bosses of the two is right. We'll catch you all tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. for the top part of the Sabbath day. Why don't we come back to the Bible before it's too late? Come back to the Bible. If the Bible said this is the way to go, why don't you just do what the Bible say? What, to give a blessing? Huh? You got to give up some things. You need to give up now, then later. Got it? Good. All right. WCC, Latter-day Saints, the Roman Catholic Church. You all heard of a big belly full of dust, says Yahweh. Be back on our ways tomorrow at 7:30. Let's see if we didn't cut you off. Well, you can cut me off now. You know, but you did cut off the elders. You see what you did? That's okay. Your radio station for now, but sooner or later, Yahweh can pay. Got it? All right, good enough. Enough said. Yahweh beat you all. We're going to sign off. See, you can keep talking. I don't want to keep talking. I don't want to keep talking. Shalom. Shalom, mother.
Shalom.